Welcome to Changing the Conversation with Punch TV Studios. Tune in as we discuss the Punch TV Studios IPO, funding for your film, acting in film and television, new affiliate stations, and all things Punch TV Studios. Meet the stars of your favorite Punch TV Studios film and television shows and find out how you can be a part of the company that is revolutionizing television. Join the conversation at 657-383-1974. And now your host, Punch TV Studios CEO, Joseph Collins.
Thank you for tuning in to yet another episode of Changing the Conversation with Punch TV Studios CEO Joseph Collins and Sharifa Hardy, your co-host for this evening. And so tonight we're going to have some very special guests. Usually we open the show, Mr. Collins speaking for a few minutes, but tonight I think I'm going to talk a little bit about the Punch TV Studios IPO. I'm also going to talk a little bit about what Punch TV Studios has meant to me. And the reason we're going to have that conversation is because it is December 26th. The year is almost over. We're almost in 2017. And so I've been working hard these past 3 years to build Punch TV Studios and to make Punch TV Studios into a company that the world would take notice of. So along with our CEO, Joseph Collins, and several other members of our staff, we have been working tirelessly, not only to build Punch TV Studios, but to create a company that turns a profit for our shareholders. That is the most important thing. So, again, that's why we have been working diligently to build Punch TV Studios. We do still have stock available. We're closing out the IPO, but you can still participate, still purchase your stock at $1 a share. Now, if you call into our office at 310-419-5914, you will be able to speak to one of our representatives who are focused on closing out the IPO. Or you can go directly to our website at punchtvstudios.com and you can purchase your stock. If you do it on the website, there's a little less hand-holding, there's a little less explaining. But what you can do on our website is purchase, you know, maybe $500 worth of stock or maybe $1,000 worth of stock, whereas as if you go through the one of our investor relations, the stock may be a little bit, we're looking for a little bit people who are closing out the IPO. We have people now who are investing hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars worth of stock. So we're looking to close out the IPO. This has been since June 19th, since we opened. So we're definitely proud of everything that we're doing. But again, for me, it's just been an exceptional year. It's the last week, the last Monday, we're going to be able to do our radio show. So it's really great. I think I just want to take over the show. I've been talking for a little while. So I am going to give our CEO, Mr. Joseph Collins, an opportunity to talk about what this year, this show, and everything, the IPO has meant to him.
Wow. Thank you so much. The IPO has been awesome. This year has been an amazing year because we got approved this year with the SEC and thinking that it took us 9 months to get that approval. And then once we were approved, we started selling stock in the company, and people all over the country have been responding with excellence. It's just been completely and totally awesome. And I have been really blessed this year to know that, like, this year we have over 50 people on the phones. We have we have 15 people that work for the company full time and doing what we're doing, which is awesome. We've been able to have We have five television stations on board. We're getting ready to launch another one pretty soon. We're setting up our sales team and our sales departments in different parts of the country so that we can sell local ads. And I think that we are really, really on track to doing something really special in the world of media and in the world of entertainment. And I am really happy and I'm really blessed to think that we got all that done in this year. I mean, it's been a phenomenal year. And in the next few months from now, we're closing the IPO out. People are buying. We're going to sell out the IPO in 2017, in the top of first quarter of 2017. And then we're going to have our first shareholders meeting after we close out the IPO. And those things are just super duper exciting for me. They're just really, really exciting. And I can tell you that I'm very thankful. I'm thankful to my team. I'm thankful to everyone who's believing in Punch TV. I'm thankful to all of our investors who are believing in the direction of the company and in the direction that we're going, and that are giving us a chance, and that are calling their families and calling their friends and telling folks that, hey, you need to become a shareholder in Punch TV Studios. And I'm excited and I'm thankful and I'm very, very happy. I'm excited and I'm thankful and I'm very, very happy. That's all I could really say about, you know, the way this year. That's just like a lot to me in 1 year. That's a lot to me in 1 year. I've been traveling the country. I've been on the road for like a month right now, which I didn't when I left. I had no intentions of being on the road this long, but I've been on the road for a month right now. And I've met some amazing people out on the road, but I've really been out here setting up our new offices in Houston, Texas, our offices in Jacksonville, Florida, so that we can sell our commercial time in those markets to the local businesses and the markets, and they could be a part of it. We've set up Nabuki this year, you know. That's really cool.
Yeah, we did.
We have our own social media. We have our own social media site so that if you want to follow what's happening with Punch and you want to follow everything that's going on, you can go to Nabuki.com and you can become a member. You can join there. If you're an actor or if you're a producer or if you're a filmmaker or if you're just a person and you're on Nabuki, you can really follow what we're doing and follow what's going on. Those are the things that we really accomplished. So I'm really happy. I'm really, really happy about that because that was just an idea that came to life. And right now, I think the first quarter, everybody's going to see some amazing things come together with us beginning now to turn our attention towards producing shows, to turn our attention towards animation, to turn our attention towards building a really aggressive, phenomenal production staff to begin making movies and turning out movies and television shows. As we turn our attention to those things, I can just tell you that I am really thankful more than anything else. I'm just thankful. I'm really thankful. And I don't know how to say it any better. I mean, we are ending this year on a very strong note leading into the top of next year. It's really exciting.
Wow.
So
you sound
really
excited. You sound like we woke you up for the show.
I've been resting. I'm really excited.
I've been resting. This is the last Monday of the show. This is the last Monday that we do this show in 2016. Right. We have some incredible guests lined up. I've been on Nabuki all day. I mean, when you go to Nabuki today, you'll notice the difference. You're going to be like, Sharifa was on Nabuki, because I was on Nabuki all day and I took care of some things. So I'm happy about Nick
Suzuki. Nice.
I'm excited about the show, and we're doing good.
That's right.
We
established a radio show.
Yes.
That was a radio show. You know, and we've been able to reach out and talk to people and say, hey, if you want to talk to, you know, to me, I'm the CEO of Punch TV, and I'm here and I'm available here to talk to you. And we're on the radio across the country. And guess what? Starting in next month, we're going to be on the radio in over 2 million homes every day. So that's
wow.
going to be super exciting. We're going to be on the radio in over 2 million homes every day. Every day.
Wow.
And so that's really exciting to have achieved that goal and to have achieved that objective. That's really something special there. And I can't tell you how really just thankful. I think the word for me right now is just really thankful.
Mm.
How thankful I am. To be able to pull this off and to be in and to see other people investing in and believing in my dream to build a multi-billion-dollar media company and to take this journey with me and to give me an opportunity to take their money, invest in ideas that we think are going to make tons of money for our company and be able to make that money back and do what we're doing. When we did our IPO, when we started, people still have a hard time believing that we're doing it. You know, people ask the question all the time, when does the IPO open? And I'm like, the IPO is already open. It's just, this is a true IPO for people to be a part of. We have not begun trading. We did not work with investment bankers at this point in the game, right? We didn't do that, but we are going to do that as we right before we begin trading. We're going to do that, and I'm just really excited. I'm really excited. So that's all I could say about that as far as that part goes. I don't know if I actually answered the question or not, but I did the best job I could.
And that's where you are, CEO of Punch TV Studios.
It's a hard job. It's a very hard job, but somebody's got to do it. It's a very hard job, but somebody's got to do it. Somebody's
well,
really
you are
do
doing
it, so,
it well. You're doing it well.
Yeah, we are doing it as a team. And I am happy.
Okay, so we're going to stop for a brief commercial break because I think you've been overwhelmed by emotions of gratitude and excitement. So we're going to take a break, give you a second to come back to us, and we'll be right back.
CEO Joseph Collins and Punch TV Studios have been broadcasting for the last 8 years. And for the last 2 years, Punch TV Studios has been producing TV shows and movies for license to major studios and TV networks all over the world. You can purchase your IPO stocks today for only $1 per share as they near their fourth quarter deadline. You could be a part of history as Punch TV Studios vies to be the first African-American owned company on the New York Stock Exchange. Join the Punch TV movement and be part owner for only $1 per share. That's $1 per share. Don't delay, because there is a limited amount of stock for a limited amount of time. So call them today at 310-419-5914. 310-419-5914. That's 310-419-5914. For more information, you can visit them online at punchtvstudios.com. That's punchtvstudios.com.
As a filmmaker, you're brimming with ideas. But do you need help bringing your ideas to life? That's where Punch TV Studios comes in. We offer independent filmmakers a place to call home, as well as practical help, advice, resources, support, and most importantly, funding. Join the filmmakers group at Nabuki.com and network with industry professionals. Do you Nabuki?
Do you, Nabuki?
Yes, I do, Nabuki. I Nabuki quite well, girl. Didn't somebody tell you? You didn't know. I Nabuki very well. So who's in the punch bowl tonight?
We have several fabulous guests. We're going to start off the conversation with the one, the only, Coco. We have Coco in the house. Are you in the punch bowl with us tonight, Coco?
Yeah, hello?
Hello?
Hello? Can you hear me?
How you doing tonight?
I'm good. How are you?
We're doing great, doing great. Yeah, we can hear you very, very well. For some reason, I don't know, I was thinking Coco was going to be like a woman. I wasn't expecting a deep voice. It caught me by surprise with such a deep voice. It just really caught me off guard there. You know, because I think of Coco, I was thinking about Chanel, you know, and all
wow.
that. But how you doing tonight? What brings you to the punch bowl tonight?
I got a message saying that I was going to be interviewed at 6 p.m.
Great. Well, tell us about yourself. Tell us what you do. Tell us about your business.
Well, I'm a personal protection agent. I have
nice.
A personal protection referral service called Bodyguards R Us. And I just inquired a new business venture, which is called MyCorporateLook.com, which is going to deliver full wardrobes and accessories of corporate female clothing to the home.
Is it
That's
live?
That's awesome.
Say it again.
Is the website live?
Yes, it is. It's actually live. We're doing pre-sales right now. My corporate look at AOL.com. And we're doing
yes.
pre-sale sizes and everything right now.
Oh, wow. This is really nice. The website is nice. But I'm actually kind of more curious about the other aspect, because it's kind of funny because every time, you know, our CEO is out somewhere, we always talk about pretty soon he won't be able to go out by himself anymore. You know, he's going to have that security detail that's surrounding him 24 hours, 7 days a week. So that's really like what you're used to.
Right. That's what I've been doing for the past 30 years.
Yes, you're trained to jump in front of the bullet as opposed to away from it.
Well, I'm actually trained to prepare the situation where that doesn't happen at all.
Oh, you go. That's right. That's how you, that's, mm-hmm.
Right.
So how
did
you get into
job,
that line of business?
Well, I started in 86 with Ice-T and Run DMC. I started from just, you know, your basic young kids in the neighborhood start to be rappers. They take you with them. You learn how not to do security. You learn what to do and how to do it correctly. And then I end up going to school to learn all the laws and things like that.
That sounds like a story. That sounds like somebody did something wrong and everybody was like, you know what, we can't do that anymore.
Oh, that happened. That happened a whole lot in the 80s.
Okay, so, I mean, without naming names, we can't get one good story, like just something
I can name names. It would just be too many. I would just say that I definitely was with Prince. I've been with Kanye. I've been with Beyonce. I've been with Hammer. I've been with Q.
Well, but I need the story behind you was with Kanye, and then Kanye did a Kanye, and this is what happened. That's what we're looking for.
Well, actually, when I was with Kanye, he had to listen to me, so I prevented all that Kanye stuff you see today. It didn't happen on my watch.
Mr. Collins, what do you think of that?
I'm wondering, like, what do you look for when you're doing security? So you're out there and you're with the celebrity person. What are you looking for? Like, what are you focused on? Like, I watched the president's detail.
Well, the
like,
thing is
that's
this.
Just, like,
if
awesome.
I'm going to be with someone, then I want to know where we're going so I can go there first and check out the situation. I would be the one that would go in and find out where we're going to sit, where we're going to be, how I can get in, how I can get you out, you know, where we're going to put the vehicle so that if we do need to get out quickly, we can get out quickly. I would even map out the route if that's necessary. See, my thing is prevention.
Mm-hmm.
So that you don't have to, you know, be the guy that's just standing there behind them and then all of a sudden something happens, I got to rush you out the room. I should be able to assess the situation beforehand so that we're in a position where if something goes down, we already know how to get out.
Oh, so you advance the situation. You really have done your homework.
Exactly.
For each particular venue.
Exactly.
Okay, so we don't get
that's
a story.
That's really cool.
I'm trying to get a story.
Okay, what kind of story are you trying to get?
I'm trying to get.
I was in trouble. And what happened?
Yes. What happened was, like, what happened? I mean, something. A date. And you know why? And wait, let me just say this. It's not that I'm just looking for, you know, the drama, but we are looking for these incredible stories of everyday people to make these incredible movies out of. So I'm like, give me something. Give us something.
Okay, well, that kind of thing is definitely going to be in my book, which is called A Day in the Life with Prince. I also have another book. Also have another book.
I need some more. What's in the book? I know people have to buy the book, and you can tell us where the book is available, but what story is in A Day in the Life with Prince of all
the stories
people? I have to hear something.
Let me know when you finish. Go ahead.
No, I'll finish.
So the stories that are going to be in the book are going to be stories of our conversations, things that were going on, things that were being said during different shows, during different award shows, you know, a lot of, you know, backstage stuff, a lot of onstage stuff, things like that, that you won't get from anyone but me because I was there.
Okay, so where is the book available? Since we won't get one story on one stage, you were there.
I'm trying to figure out what kind of story you're trying to get. Like, I can back up a story as far as me and him on the David Letterman show. He didn't want to speak with David Letterman. That's why I drug him off the stage.
You drug Prince
off the stage? Who didn't want to speak with? Wow.
Prince didn't want to speak with David Letterman when we went on David Letterman and did the show.
So you drug David Letterman off the stage, or you drug Prince off the stage?
You don't remember when Prince was on David Letterman and all of a sudden he pretended to be passed out, and then a big black bald-headed guy came and grabbed him and drug him off the stage? That was me.
No, but I'm about to YouTube that right now.
Definitely YouTube that David Letterman 1994.
Okay. Oh, you racist. I will have it up by the end of the show. Okay.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it'd be
stuff
like that. You
gave me a story, so that was good. You gave me a story.
Yeah, it'd be things like that.
So where can people find out more information about your books?
I'm gonna definitely have more info on Google Plus. I'm gonna have more info on Facebook, and definitely gonna plug it on Instagram as well. So that would be Instagram.
You wanna plug it on the Bookie too?
Okay, well, if you could send me that
information,
I will get that to you as well.
That is fantastic. So we do have to stop for a brief commercial break, and we will be right back.
All right.
CEO Joseph Collins and Punch TV Studios have been broadcasting for the last 8 years, and for the last 2 years, Punch TV Studios has been producing TV shows and movies for license to major studios and TV networks all over the world. You can purchase your IPO stocks today for only $1 per share as they near their fourth quarter deadline. You could be a part of history as Punch TV Studios vies to be the first African-American owned company on the New York Stock Exchange. Join the Punch TV movement and be part owner for only $1 per share. That's $1 per share. Don't delay, because there is a limited amount of stock for a limited amount of time. So call them today at 310 410-419-5914. 310-419-5914. That's 310-419-5914. For more information, you can visit them online at punchtvstudios.com. That's punchtvstudios.com.
Are you an actor looking for your next role? Are you looking to audition to be cast in the next Hollywood project? One amazing way to do this is to work with Punch TV Studios, making movies and making magic. Join the actors group at Nabuki.com to find out about upcoming film projects and opportunities. It's a great place to network. Do you, Nabuki?
Now that was a pretty good guess right there. I want to know how many people are in that detail. So if you're guarding Prince, is it just him by himself, or is it like they've got like a detail of guys posted in different places?
When we would do certain things, sometimes it would be just me, him, and his brother. Sometimes mm-hmm. it would be him and another guy named Joey, and then sometimes it would be me, him, his brother, and his manager. You know what I mean? So it depends on the detail in the show. A lot of times when we did shows, he didn't like to have a lot of guys along around him. So he preferred to have just maybe one or two of us at the most.
Mm-hmm. And that was enough to provide adequate security?
Well, you know, because
just one or two guys.
If you do your advance right, then you actually know how to get him in and get him out. And then a lot of times they respect that they see somebody in front of the stage. I was always the guy in front of the stage. And usually with any artist that I'm with, I'm usually either on the stage or in front of the stage.
Mm-hmm. Now, did you get caught up in the show? Because a lot of times when you have bodyguards, they kind of get caught up in the show itself, and you actually don't really end up with protection. You know what I mean? You end up with a bodyguard who's in the show. You know what I mean?
Wow. Yeah, well, I actually have trained guys that, you know, if you are a fan or if you are, you know, going to be distracted that way, then that means you need to actually go to the rehearsals, get all that stuff out the way, watch the show, enjoy the music, enjoy the artists. But once the show time starts and the crowd hits, your job is protection only.
Now, in your books, I know you said that you were one of the people who knew Prince well. I know there's, and I don't know if you want to talk about it or not, but there's a lot of conspiracy going on around him and, like, his last days. Are you going to discuss any of that in your book?
No, all of my stuff is going to be about, you know, happier times. My stuff is mostly about the Diamonds and Pearls tour, about the Warner Brothers, you know, conspiracies as far as him being a slave to the record company, that type of thing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just fun nights out, fun times out. Yeah, I'm not going
to. You know, it's interesting enough. I was reading something online because George Michael passed away.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was saying specifically George Harris, just because George Harris, being a music artist, he also felt that he was a slave to the record companies.
Mm-hmm.
That was really interesting that, you know, and when I was reading it, it made me think of Prince.
Right.
And his statements, and he actually wore the word slave on his cheek. You know, he painted mm-hmm. the word slave on his cheek just in protest as the way that Warner Brothers was treating
him. Record company, they basically made him.
Did we lose him? Did we start discussing things we weren't supposed to say? Is everyone tuned in? Mr. Collins, are you with us? It appears that we are having technical difficulties. Mr. Collins,
am I back
are you
now?
With You are
back,
back now.
All I heard was it appears that everything went dark.
I know, that's what I said. I was like, are we going into some areas we're not supposed to go?
There's a conspiracy on the line right now with the record companies. They're trying to stop us from broadcasting tonight.
Are you back with us, Coco?
Yeah, I was talking about something. I couldn't hear you guys anymore.
Yeah, it just all went dead.
Right, it's a good part.
But you were saying, you said it appears everybody was just like breathing. What does it appear? And the lines went down.
See, that's how big the record companies are.
That's how big the record
exactly.
companies are. They got the lines tapped.
No,
man,
a lot of
it appears.
A lot of times they do that to artists. They'll have them on contract to where a lot of times the artist doesn't realize that once you sign on that dotted line, you belong to the record company. And if they want one album, two albums, three albums, if they've already paid you for them, you have to give them to them. So a lot of artists feel like they're slaves. And now that they have to give up a part of their stage show now.
Stage performance, they do 360 deals. That's right.
Right.
If you want the support of a record label, you're almost going to be stuck into what's called a 360 deal.
Right.
Well, I definitely want to read more about your books. Some artists.
Yeah, that's pretty big. Yeah, but it just brought that to mind just when I saw the George Michael thing and with his passing. And I was like, wow, and it was just one of the things that he felt that he was being treated as a slave by the record label. But, you know, and then the system that they used in the old days for a lot of record labels, it was totally not fair. Not a fair.
The ones that are leaving us now are the exact same 80s artists.
That's right.
You know, so
and
it may
they were
be,
part of unfair I, system.
Mm-hmm. Ironic or coincidental. I don't know how you want to look at it.
Uh-huh. I agree with you. Coincidentally ironic, whatever it is.
Exactly.
Whatever it is, but it's definitely one of those things where, you know, the artists don't feel like they're protected or they get so happy because you got to think then we weren't used to a lot of money.
True,
so,
and that's why they spent so much time on the road. That's why they spend so much time on the road, and that's what makes their body, you know, become worn before they're 60, because they spend so much time on the road. They perform so much because that's the only real way they can make their money.
And you've seen it firsthand.
I've seen them come and seen them go.
Wow. What amazing.
You know,
that's a hell of a story.
Unfortunately,
right,
I was with Tupac as well. I spent some time with Aaliyah. Also spent a few last months with Natalie Cole.
Wow. That's like just great. Like not that many people can say that. They had the honor of spending time with so many greats.
Right. I mean, it's unfortunate, though. You know, because we lose that talent.
Well, it's just one of those things, you know, they had a gift that God gave them. And no matter what you do, you only have a certain amount of time to use that gift.
Exactly.
And some of them really abuse the gift.
True.
And then some of them really jump out and really use the gift. And then their time runs out. You know, it's just one of those things, you know, but when you're in the industry, everything is available to you. You know, when you're in the industry and you're at the top of the industry, there's nothing that's not available to you.
That's true.
And then you got to have the discipline enough to hold on to your integrity, because everything.
Well, I would definitely say that there were a lot of times where we would be at different parties and they would offer Prince a lot of different stuff, and all he would do is turn around and say it's time to go. And I'm definitely able to say that, you know, with a straight face, that he turned down way more than anything that people expected. You know, I never even hardly seen him take a drink, let alone anything else that they were claiming he was doing.
Mm-hmm. You almost don't want to drink. But you're not sure what people will do.
But coherent to see what's going on around you. And then you hire
Then you hire people to make sure nothing happens, right. But I think that's really great of you, you know, where you really advance your situation and you really like, you know what, let me advance this. Let me go check it out. Let me check out the route. Let me check out the escape. Let me check out this. Let me check out who they people is. That's really a good thing to have. I mean, that's really smart thinking. That's really, really smart thinking.
There are a few
in your mind. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
And then who in your mind that you think that should have security that really doesn't, but they haven't really thought through their security plan?
Russell Simmons. People like Dr. Phil.
Now, why Russell?
Because not only is Russell the father of, you know, two really beautiful daughters, but Russell is a very smart marketing genius. He's also a very big part of hip-hop history. Therefore, not only should he be protected, but presented in a light where you can't just come up to him and stress him out, meaning that you can't come up to him with your money problems. You can't get to him and try to extort him in any type of way.
Now, I wouldn't even think people would do that with Russell Simmons, but that's interesting that you would say that.
Yeah.
No, I can see that, though. I mean, he has one of the largest social media followings out there. I mean, he's one of the biggest, one of the best. So that's
right.
In addition to what, you know, he's doing outside of that, he has a lot of eyes on him. He has a lot of people who follow him on a daily basis, who share his posts, share his comments, and who want to be a part of the world that he's in, you know.
He started
a lot.
Exactly.
Oh, wow. Okay, yeah. Now you were saying who else?
Joseph Collins. CEO of Punch TV Studios.
I'll put it this way. Anyone who has a vision and that is going to be starting something that is going to change the mindset of our people needs protection.
Joseph Collins, CEO of Punch TV Studios.
Well, but okay, I got you. But let's hear the reasoning why.
Because there is a whole nother entity that doesn't want to see it happen. And they do it not as boastful as we would do it, where we would come five or six deep with big giant dudes in white T-shirts and try to come bum rush a show and do all that stupidity, to where they do it a lot more, you know, tactfully. They might show up with a letter and a slot of a piece of paper on your desk, and you know, they may interrupt your internet service and stuff like that. I mean, you know, they do it more tactfully. So
that sounds like a veiled threat.
You know, so therefore the protection needs to be not only in place visibly, but they need to know that you are covered.
Amen. Yes.
Amazing.
Yes, especially when you always talk about being out on the road. We need some people out on the road with you, protecting you, protecting our investment.
I hear the sister. She's with you. But she's absolutely correct. I mean, it's not about the presence of, you know, like you see Floyd with these big giant guys, or, you know, back in the day you see Allen Iverson with these big dudes and all. It's not the presence of like that. It's just the, I want to protect not only what I have, but my future.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
So at what point does a rapper or guy decide, okay, I really need this now? Like when does the transition happen?
Well, it's supposed to happen as soon as he or she signs on a dotted line. Because once he or she signs on a dotted line, her life is therefore changed, which means you just can't go to the mall anymore. You can't just go to the store. You can't just, you know, like somebody something on the internet and not get 1,000 responses anymore. Those days are over. It also occurs when you're coming home and you got a bunch of people waiting at your house for you to sign autographs or take your picture. When you have people approaching your parents or your brother or your sister, hey, what's this like? What's that like? Who is that? What they be doing? Where they be at? Where they going? When you find out that wherever you go, there are people there, that's when you know it's time.
That's deep. That's deep right there.
That's why we have to get you a security detail.
Well, that's
I don't really have that problem yet. I don't really have that problem yet. I don't have
it's about prevention.
We're called visible insurance. It's like you're paying your car every month. You never have an accident. But once you have an accident, you need all the insurance you can get.
Exactly.
Well, that's true.
In my case, you rather have me be there to prevent the accident as opposed to me not being there and the accident gets worse and worse and worse and worse to where you know
right.
you're hospitalized and now you're not able to do anything.
What is it that makes people not like you for even not even a reason you know? You know, what is it in people that makes them not like you? Because obviously if you need security, somebody doesn't like you. For whatever
that's not true.
What is the main reason? What is the main reason that you find that people don't
here's
like
the,
you.
Here's the thing. You have people who are jealous of people who saved a person's life. You have people who are jealous of screenwriters. You have people who are jealous of actors and directors. It's not a point of the fact that you've done something wrong. It's just the fact that you're doing something that that person wished they could do. Jealousy and envy creates more problems than anything else.
Right, and not only jealousy and envy, but you have to have someone to control the crowd. I mean, sometimes you have crowds that are so happy and so excited, and they love you, and they're chanting, and then all of a sudden you don't sign the 100th autograph, and now the 100th person is mad and wants to, you know, choke you because you don't like them.
That is totally correct. Yeah. It's like people would say, why would Shaq need a bodyguard? He's 7 feet tall, 300 pounds. Shaq can't watch his own back. Mike Tyson had four guys with him and when he was in his prime. You didn't want to run up on Mike Tyson, but the fact that he had four guys with him lets you know that Mike said, I don't want you to try to run up on me. You see what I'm saying?
But that's just the public at large, right? That's just the public at large. But
now, there are some people who hire protection just for convenience. Like I said, sometimes you may just want to go to a restaurant, but you don't want to call ahead, you don't want to wait in the line outside, you don't want to have to find a parking space, things like that. That's where I would come in. I went in there first, set it up, find a table where I know that you would like, because we've talked about this already. Find you a nice table, you sit there, you go in, you say you're ready to go, have the vehicle come around, the vehicle gets in, we put you in the vehicle and you go. Nobody even has to know who you are. But that was a convenient night for you, as opposed to one night you decide to go out and the place is crowded, you know, and, you know, the bouncer's on one at the front door and you don't know, he don't know you, you don't know him. And next thing you know, y'all get into some type of situation that's not necessary, but people see you in an upset light. Now they're mad at you because they think you all that. You know what I mean? I mean, there are so many different scenarios, but the point is you just don't want to ever be seen in an unnecessary light.
Right. Okay.
Or to be in a situation that you can't get out of by yourself, you know, because sometimes, you know, a celebrity can walk outside and then just masses of people just start running at them. You know what I mean? It's hard when you're just one person, everybody's coming at you. You need other people around to hold that crowd back.
All right. Well, I deal with a lot of corporate CEOs where people have no idea that they are the richest person in the building. But it's the fact that they want to make sure that just nothing happens to them. Sometimes people will know who they are, and they just don't feel like signing an autograph that day. They just don't want to mm-hmm. talk to them. They don't want to answer any questions. They don't want to do that. They just want to chill.
Mm-hmm.
You have days like that. There are some days like that. There are definitely some days like that. There are definitely some days like that. Okay, I'll give you that. Okay, I'll give you that. I totally
yeah,
give
but
you
I
that.
Think that, that you have days like that more than, you know, that you probably even want to consider. I mean, because anytime you go somewhere, somebody is trying to get your attention. You know, you may be trying to
that
eat and they
want
to tell you, they want to tell you about their latest, you know, idea, and they want to pitch you the show,
mm-hmm.
and you've never heard a show like this, and this is the best show ever, and you're like, I just want to eat my croutons. You know what I mean? Like, I just want to
and for you to tell them, well, not right now, or maybe I can talk to you when I'm finished, that right there can make that one person, that one person might have 1,000 people on social media, and all they got to do is say, he was an asshole, don't talk to him ever
again. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And all you did was ask the person to give you a minute.
Mm-hmm.
But it's different if I ask the person to give you a minute. Then they'll go, oh.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. You know,
wow.
then that's all
yeah, because I try to be pretty cordial. I really, for me, I try to be pretty cordial. I try to be as cordial as I can be. But even sometimes, it's very difficult. It is very difficult. And
wow.
I'll tell
yeah,
you
but
just
you're
one
good
example.
At it.
I can give you one example. I was at a show. I promised my friend I would come out to his show. And he was a celebrity comedian. So I said, okay, yeah, I'll come out. And it just so happens I got to the show and the people at the show, I was waiting I was just literally standing in the hall. They hadn't got my seat together or anything like that, but I was just literally standing in the hall, true story. And these people recognized me, right? And I was like, oh man, we just saw you on TV. Oh my God, and now you're standing right here, you know? And they were really excited because they had just seen me on television. Just you know, maybe hours earlier or something like that. And I was tired. You know, I was really tired. I was literally
mm-hmm.
tired. I wasn't trying to be rude. It's like, oh, man, can we take a picture with you? Can we? I was just like, listen, no, not tonight. It just, I was tired. Mm-hmm. It wasn't even like I was trying to be rude. I was literally just tired. And mm-hmm. I just didn't feel like taking a picture. It's not like normal out of my character or whatever. Then I had to snap myself back and be like, oh, okay, yeah, come on, let's take a picture. But really, I didn't really want to take a picture. I really didn't really want to do this thing because I had a long day. And I showed, you know, comedy, they go late. So I showed up around 11:30, 12 o'clock at night. I was only mm-hmm. going to stay there for 30 minutes. But from the time I got to the door to the time I got to my seat, this group of people recognized me, which I didn't even know they knew. Who I was, you know, just like I didn't know they knew. And they were just, and I just like, I was tired. I was really tired. I was like, oh man. But you know, you have your favorite. So yeah, that would have been a good instance to have a security guy there. So you would have been able to tell, you know what, I'm really kind of tired. I don't feel like it, you know. But, you know,
well,
I don't know if I really trans.
That's just a scenario of many. I mean, there's probably been times where you don't even remember that you blew someone off, but they remember it.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
sometimes
mm-hmm.
people take it, sometimes they take it to heart, and sometimes people understand.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And sometimes some people are trying to impress other people, and you shut them down, and you made them feel small, and you didn't even realize it, because all you told them was, excuse me, give me a minute, as opposed to just doing it. And then they feel like, you know, you should have did it. And you, and then they'll say, well, you didn't do it good enough.
Oh,
you
yeah.
know, you didn't
yeah.
you didn't take enough pictures, or the picture came out wrong, and you should have did this, and you left too fast. You had, you know what I mean? You can't please everyone, but it's always good to have someone there to soften the blow.
To soften the blow.
I love that.
I got you.
I
got
that.
You. I got you. All right, I'm feeling you now. I feel you now. I feel you. For me now, you know.
Well, I will say though that, you know, one of the best people out there who has understood the perception that is Tyrese. I've been with Tyrese since the year 2000, And he understands clearly that that person doesn't have to recognize you and want to find your, have an autograph signed or take a picture with. They don't have to do that. But if they choose to, the least you can do is acknowledge them.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? And he's understood that, he's recognized that, he's one of the very few that, you know, totally would say, you know, Coco, I don't mind. It doesn't matter. I don't care. Whatever they want, let's try to do it. And, you know, a lot of times we'll be late. So, unfortunately, I would be like, man, look, you don't have time to do all these. Do what I do. We got to go. And by me saying that way would soften the blow. People understanding that, hey, you know, we're late and we just got to go. You know, just a bad time, unfortunately. But, hey, try to show up, you know, try to get there. If we can get you afterwards, we'll do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, things like
that's,
that.
That's lovely. That's really, really lovely. That's really lovely. And I have that same kind of thing right there, too. But me is more like, I'll tell you what happens to me. Now, this happens to me all the time. People walk up to me and start pitching TV shows. Like, I have an idea for a television show. I get that.
Right.
Sharifa mentioned it earlier, but I get that all the time.
Okay, imagine John Singleton.
I have an idea for a TV show.
Right.
You said
yeah,
imagine.
Yeah, but you're
what?
Also.
Well, imagine John Singleton's life and F. Gary Gray and Ice Cube.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But you're excellent at it, though. You're the king of turning it around, because they're like, let me tell you about this idea. You're like, let me tell you about the Punch TV Studios IPO at $1 per share at punchtvstudios.com. So that's why it's fun for you. Like, I've never seen anyone who pitches everyone, you know, and I have a sales background, like a long sales background, but Joseph Collins, CEO of Prince TV Studios, pitches everyone. He could be at the line for food. He's telling people about the Prince TV Studios IPO. I've never seen anybody. The car wash, everyone. You know, he talks to everyone. So they might come to him to talk, to pitch a show, but by the time they leave that conversation, they will be a Prince TV Studios investor.
Well, it's good for them to be left with something to think about versus something to be mad at.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So all he has to do is surround himself with like-minded people.
Exactly.
Wow. This has been very good. This has been very good, very helpful and enlightening. Very helpful. Now, do you feel like a lot of times, and then we're going to take a break after this question, but do you feel like a lot of times people kind of take you for granted as security? You know what I mean? Do you get that?
You're invisible.
I get the people don't really understand what my job is sometimes when I'm being nice. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So let's just say I was doing a wedding with Vivica Fox. And, you know, we were doing her wedding. We were making sure nothing happens, blah, blah, this, nothing, this. But then she expected us to carry packages and gifts and presents and stuff like that when that's not what we were there for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no, absolutely not. No.
You know what I mean? So a lot of people tend to forget that I'm here for your protection. I'm not here for, you know, your valet or your assistant, or you know what I'm saying? Like, there's a difference between what I do and what they do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but
well,
you
don't want your security to take his eyes off the ball anyway. You just don't want
that.
You want your security to have his eyes
off the
ball.
Some people don't understand that. They think that you can do it all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and as soon as something happens, it's your fault. It's your fault. Soon something happened, it's your fault.
Yeah, you were told to go inside and take the package.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Inside.
You take care of your
something
puppy,
happened,
or
you're in trouble because you went inside and left them alone.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you carry such and such, or can you carry my puppy, or can you take my daughter to... I'm like, wait a minute. I'm here for you. let's have someone else do it.
I can see that.
So in that case, I mean, you know, as granted as that, yes, I'll say it that way. And, of course, when I was younger, I would think, of course, I was never getting paid enough. But that was you never think you're getting paid enough. So.
Right. So you formed your own company, and then you farm out other security guard, security personnel, for lack of a better word.
Right. I developed a referral company where I know, you know, over the years I've met a bunch of guys. You know, I know guys who are out there doing it just like I am. So I can call them if I can't handle the situation.
Now that's
called Bodyguards R Us.
Bodyguards R Us. Got it. Well, let's take a quick break. And I want to thank you for joining us tonight. This is really, really, really good, Coco. Really, really good. And I think this really helped a lot of other people because security has to stay focused on that particular job. They got to know what's happening, what's going on. And I'm really thrilled. So we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to be right back with more in the Punch Bowl.
CEO Joseph Collins and Punch TV Studios have been broadcasting for the last 8 years. And for the last 2 years, Punch TV Studios has been producing TV shows and movies for license to major studios and TV networks all over the world. You can purchase your IPO stocks today for only $1 per share as they near their fourth quarter deadline. You could be a part of history as Punch TV Studios vies to be the first African-American owned company on the New York Stock Exchange. Join the Punch TV movement and be part owner for only $1 per share. That's $1 per share. Don't delay, because there is a limited amount of stock for a limited amount of time. So call them today at 310-419-5914. 310-419-5914. That's 310-419-5914. For more information, you can visit them online at punchtvstudios.com. That's punchtvstudios.com.
As a filmmaker, you're brimming with ideas. But do you need help bringing your ideas to life? That's where Punch TV Studios comes in. We offer independent filmmakers a place to call home, as well as practical help, advice, resources, support, and most importantly, funding. Join the filmmakers group at Nabuki.com and network with industry professionals. Do you, Nabuki?
Do you, Nabuki? So that was a really good interview. And now who else do we have in the Punch Bowl tonight?
We have another special guest who is actually a chef. Chef champion. A champion. Yes. Are you with us, Ace?
I am. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Thank you for your patience.
We love
thank
chefs.
You
I'm telling you that right now. We love chefs.
Oh,
we love Yeah, we love chefs. We love. So what brings you to the Punch Bowl tonight? Tell us about your business, what you're doing, what's going on.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I'm a chef, TV chef. I do private cooking classes. I do private chef cooking. And then I have just started going into my second season of my own TV show called Cook Like a Champion TV series. So I know I reached out to you probably about a year ago when I was just starting my journey. You know, I was trying to get onto, you know, a black-oriented network with my TV station. And, you know, you gave me some good advice and some good encouragement, which I appreciate that. And, yeah, I'm going into my second season, and I'll be nationwide coming up January 2nd. It's my debut.
Congratulations, man.
Thank you. Congratulations.
So where are you located?
I'm actually in Wisconsin. I'm from Louisiana,
wow.
So I specialize in Cajun Creole, New Orleans. But, you know, that's just funny how the journey takes you. You know, I'm actually in Green Bay, Wisconsin, where Cajun Creole kind of stands out a little bit because they don't really have a lot of that out here as far as cuisine.
I was hoping you
wonderful,
were in L.A. because I was going to be a taste tester for you.
Hey, but now that I'm nationwide, though, I will have a couple of cable channels that be out there in L.A. You know, I can definitely get you those.
Okay. Any chefs out here? Because I want to be an official taste tester.
She's like, I ain't trying to watch. I'm trying to eat.
I got to give it the thumbs up, down.
Yeah. I do it a little bit different because, you know, traditionally, you know, when you look at an African-American male, especially on the TV presence, you know, you kind of think, okay, he's going to cook the classics, you know, the greens, the red beans and rice, which don't get me wrong. I throw down with all of that. I never forgot my roots. But I kind of surprised them because when I graduated from culinary arts, I kind of understood all the fundamentals of cooking. So I'm like, man, I can take my roots and blend that with all these other cultures. So really the basic of my cooking is they call it infusion cooking, where I take multiple cultures. So I create a dish and they're like, well, what is that? And you can't just say one cuisine. It can be a blend of six or seven of them. And that's pretty much what I do. I teach sushi, you know, in a different, you know, how many restaurants are you going to go in? And you say, okay, well, what is this guy doing making sushi? It doesn't really make sense. And that's kind of why I do it, because I try and do things that no one else is doing. And especially African-American male chefs, you're not going to find too many of them doing sushi, but doing sushi in a way to where I'm making a jambalaya sushi roll or a Jamaican jerk sushi roll, you know, things that they wouldn't even imagine because it's not traditional. And that's kind of like what I try and do with my cooking and with my show.
Now,
we can only get that in Wisconsin.
That just sounds like really good. Jamaican sushi roll. That just sounds good to me.
Yeah, that's how I try and roll. Because at the end of the day, I'm not just cooking food for the people. You know, I'm trying to teach them. I'm trying to educate them. You know, and I got to make it sound pleasing, you know. If it doesn't sound good to the ear, you know, they're not going to want to try it. And that's the ultimate goal, is not for you just to hear what I have to say, but to actually go home and download the recipe and get in there with your family and or your significant other and get to cooking. Real food, not fake food.
Right. Now, what information or advice did I give you before that helped you?
You told me keep pushing. you said you got, and I was like, yeah, I know. And that's really been the basis, that, you know, you get so many no's and just that one yes, and that one yes can turn into so many more yeses, but it's not giving up on that 99th no when the right yes is right around the corner. And I remember we talked, and then just what I was trying to go, I don't even think I even had my pilot video yet when I called you, because I know you were asking me, well, send me some video. And that was my biggest struggle, is people were saying, well, what are your ratings? And can you send me some video? And I'm like, I don't have anything. All I got is what I can tell you what I can do. And just by you saying that really just pushed me to really dig deeper and figure out, okay, what do I need to do? And even though I didn't know what to do then, because I kept thinking about it, I actually attracted it into my life. And then all of a sudden, it kind of just, when I signed with my first producer, my first, I don't want to say fell in my lap, but it kind of just happened. It's like a month before, I never would have known that I would be getting ready to start the show, and that's kind of how it happened. But even though I got through that journey, a month before the season ended, he ended up parting his ways. We were 50-50 partners. I guess I became too much of a project for him. So it was like I kind of was back at that square one moment. Okay, well, what do I do now? Do I panic? But I remember, you know, you just keep pushing. And I love that keep pushing attitude, because I did. And I got past the fact, that big learning curve, because now I went from 50-50 partners, where literally I just have to show up and cook the food. But now I'm in charge of finding my sponsors. You know, I'm in charge of contacting the TV stations. You know, I get the video link, then I have to distribute it to the many different networks. And, I mean, you talk about a learning curve, but I kept pushing. And eventually, I don't want to say it became easy, but it almost became a passion. I was like, oh, why wasn't I doing this in the first place? You know, so now here I am sitting there kind of like you are, 100% owner of my company, of my destiny. No one can tell me what to do, how to do it. It's just me living my dream and doing what I do. And, I couldn't have been more blessed.
I'm really happy for you. I'm no longer 100% owner of Punch. I have stockholders and stuff now. But I'm really happy for you, though. I'm really happy that something that I said helped you to become successful. That is awesome. That's awesome. That's totally awesome. And that's what it's about. Sometimes we just need to hear a word or two to encourage our spirit. And once your spirit is encouraged, you could keep going. You can keep going.
The spirit is always trying to drag the flesh. It's like, come on, man.
Right. Oh,
you
know, I should just give up. Now, I would still love to see one of your shows now that you got it all worked out.
It's funny because it was like a trickle effect. It was just 3 months ago I was only on 8 local stations that I was very proud of. And then once that break happened between me and my partner and I became just my owner, being able to control my own destiny, it just went rapid fire. And within a month, I was able to get on Tuff TV, which puts me over, I want to say, about 55 million households. And we're talking 30 states, digital and cable both. And then I just got picked up 2 weeks ago by AMG TV, which puts me in another $45 million household. And they're connecting me to another network, DTV America, which is like one of the largest smaller stations. It's just crazy how it's just that trickle effect. Like when you really keep pushing and you really keep chasing your dreams, how it might take 4 years, there's no time limit to how long it takes, but man, is it so sweet when you get there. And that's kind of like where I'm at now. I still stay in my humble little apartment. You know, I'm not balling by no means, but I can say that I'm national, and I couldn't say that a month ago. And a month ago, I couldn't say that I had 9 stations. And a year ago, I couldn't even say that I was on TV. So the progress is definitely, that's what's driving me, is seeing the progress, living the progress. And I know you're going through
that
the same
is
thing.
So like beautiful.
Thank you.
Is so beautiful.
Yeah,
so
congratulations.
What about,
that is very beautiful.
Your recipes and everything sound so unique. I mean, is there any type of, you know, product that goes behind it? Is there a cookbook or anything like that? Because we need
something
like that here in L.A.
No, I know. See, and what I do, what I learned in culinary arts school, they try to teach me what they would say, the new school of cooking. Everything's so fancy. Every word is in another language. You know, the portions are like 2 ounces, you know, and that's just not the way I see America eating, you know, especially Wisconsin. Like, they're like Louisiana. They like to eat, and they want to eat food that they recognize, and they want to learn that. So what I do is I take basic ingredients like cream, milk, butter, you know, and I create dishes that are pretty much comfort soul food, but I put them on a high scale level, and I make it healthy, and I make it healthy in a way where, you know, we all love fried chicken. Well, let's pan sear it in the healthy avocado oil, get that crust on the outside. Let's create a pan sauce using some wine and some shallots and some garlic. And while I'm telling these people this, they think, oh, this should be unhealthy, but it's all healthy for you. It's your proteins. It's everything that the body needs. So I guess I could say my niche is I always tell people to try and cook with live food. And that means in one way or another, everything that you create when you're in the kitchen was once alive, from the flour to the oil to the protein to the chicken to the eggs. Everything was once alive. And that's what your body really needs, is just food that come from the earth, in my opinion, like we did, you know. So that's kind of like, I don't want to say I'm starting a food revolution, but I'm trying to get people to go back to where it used to be. You know, let's just stop making up excuses why we can't get in the kitchen and cook. We all know, you know, time is manageable. We make time for whatever we want to do. And to me, food is one of the most important things people can go about in their life, because that's what controls your substance. That's what controls your mind. Food is everything. And the way the media and everything puts food out today, it's like food is like the last resort. You know, oh, shoot, I forgot to eat. Let me go shove this up my, you know, face that ain't going to do anything for my body. And that's what I'm trying to get people out of and back to. And I really think I can make a difference. You know, I'm hoping that by all these different networks and these different channels that I'm connected to, that the people will understand the message, you know. So that's why I'm trying to create recipes, you know, like banana. I don't know if you guys ever had Bananas Foster's before, if you're familiar with New Orleans.
Yes.
No,
yes,
I ain't never had that.
Oh, man. You,
well, I'm familiar with it. I mean, everybody is Vienna sausage.
Vienna. I thought you said banana sausage. I thought you said
Bananas Foster's. Bananas Foster's.
Oh, but I'm lost then. Oh, okay.
It's a New Orleans dish. You would have to be familiar with, like, New Orleans cuisine and stuff like that. Yeah.
Oh.
So what I basically do is take classic recipes and then look up multiple recipes and then kind of create my own recipe, but make it so different to where it kind of complements all the culture. So it's not just African-American food. It's not just Indian food. It's in a way it's like world food. And there's a little bit of each culture, and whether it be from the spice or the type of wine that I use, you know, et cetera. And I cook with a lot of liquor. That's kind of my niche too. And that's because that's how they roll in New Orleans. And being in Wisconsin with all the bars and stuff, it goes over really well.
So where can people find the recipe?
So you mean
that's
I can
I
eat
know.
Your food and get drunk at the same time?
Yeah,
what are you talking about? You don't even drink.
He said he gets a lot of liquor in his food. I'm just asking. I can eat and get drunk at the same time. I'm just asking.
It burns out.
You don't
it burns
drink.
Out.
No, I don't
it
drink.
Burns
I don't drink. I've never been drunk. No, I
no the
I
alcohol cooks out. It's just the flavor.
Oh, just flavor. Oh, dog. Oh,
yeah, yeah,
it's
the alcohol
flavor.
Cooked
I was
out.
Trying to hook you up.
Yeah, no. No, you got to go to a bar if you want to get drunk. I can't do it for you. But yeah, to answer your question,
man,
you can get my recipes on my website at chefchampion.com. What I do is each season that I have, I upload the videos to there, and I'm actually a part of the Food Channel, which airs my videos too. So you can get the recipe and the video right on my website at chefchampion.com.
Love it.
And then you
well,
can hire
I
me. I'll for hire. You know, I'll come down to California, you know, and it'll be cheap, I'm saying, but I'll come.
We might have to consider you for catering for the stockholders, the shareholders part.
I can do it. I can do it. I've done up to 70, 75.
Yeah, man, if we get all of the shareholders good and drunk, they'll vote for anything. Hey, man,
well,
vote for
you
know
anything.
Hey,
that sounds like a business plan to me.
We're going to do this. We're going to do like a huge banana pudding, okay? And we're going to put some banana sausage up in there, you know what I mean? And then you're gonna put a little bit more on there. And when I get up to ask for the vote, this is what we're gonna do. Everybody
will be blasted,
deal. And we'll get the vote.
Right. It's a done deal. Hey, food is a gateway to everyone's soul, man. They listen when you talk food.
Food is a gateway to the soul. Food is a gateway to the soul. Yes, it is. Well, I want to thank you for being on the show tonight, Chef Champion, and I'm so happy for your success, and I'm so happy to know that a few words that I gave you encourage you to keep it going, and that's what it's about. I want to tell everybody, visit our website at punchtvstudios.com. That's punchtvstudios.com. Become a stockholder in Punch TV. It's only $1 per share. We're doing some amazing things in television, and we're going to do some amazing things in media. And I am just really thankful. I want to thank our producer, the Sharifa, for producing a phenomenal show tonight and holding it down and making it happen and making it all come together. And she's also our co-host. Wonderful, wonderful one. I want to thank all of our guests for being on tonight. And we'll see you tomorrow night, the same Punch time on the same Punch channel.
Thanks for listening to Changing the Conversation with Punch TV Studios.
Join us 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Monday through Friday as we continue to change the conversation in contemporary media. Visit our website at www.punchtvstudios.com today to become a part owner at $1 per share.